Yes, Easter weekend is approaching. What are your plans? A festival, perhaps? The Byron Bay Blues Fest on the East Coast looks pretty amazing this year. The Fremantle Street Arts Festival kicks off on the West Coast. Darwin's Waterfront looks like they're hosting a whole stack of family activities too. Feel free to share events in your area on our Facebook page. I'm hoping myself to head to the National Folk Festival over in Canberra. 50,000 other people hearing good acoustic performances. And two of the performers on this year's bill are singer-songwriter Gina Williams, guitarist Guy Gauss. Their latest album is all in Noongar language. Gina is a Ballardong woman, and she'll join us in a moment. Here's a beautiful song from that latest album, Ballardong Skies, to get you in the mood. Ballardong Skies. From the album Kalyakul, it's received critical acclaim. All the songs on the album are performed in Noongar language by Gina Williams with guitarist Guy Gauss. There are only around 240 or so living speakers of that language left. The duo got the gong for Best Indigenous Act at the WA Music Industry Awards over the last 2 years and at last year's NAIDOC Awards. NAIDOC Awards, ahead of their appearances at the National Folk Festival this weekend. Gina joins us with Guy, ready with his guitar, from the ABC Studios in Perth. A welcome to you.
Hello there.
You were absolutely determined, weren't you, to become one of those 240 speakers of the Noongar language. As an adult, though, you did not grow up speaking this language. What's the cultural connection?
I'm a Ballardong girl. I have links to the Gitche people of the East Kimberley, but my grandfather was a Ballardong man. Ballardong is one of the 14 groups that make up the Noongar Nation. So I'm actually not one of the 250 speakers left. I'm firmly a student still.
There are a handful of
Yeah, I definitely am. So every time an elder dies, we run the risk of a library burning down. So it's very personal to me. I think it's an incredibly beautiful language. Mm. I'm entirely in love with it. So, I'm really lucky to be in a position to be able to write songs using it.
And partly it's because the language itself sings to you, doesn't it?
It does. It's got the rhythm of a heartbeat.
How did you go about learning it?
I went back to TAFE, believe it or not, and my teachers stopped teaching at TAFE, so I collected a whole gang of friends and we ambushed her and got her to give us private lessons. And then a local corporation, Aboriginal corporation, picked up the slack and they put on classes with my teacher. So I started in a classroom context. I've ended up in a community context with elders. As we've become more confident doing what we do, a lot of the elders and a lot of the language speakers have made themselves known to me and have helped me and been very generous and very patient with what we do. It's an imperfect offering, but my heart is, I think that's what people understand, is my heart is towards it.
Mm, and they've given you their blessing to write these songs, to realise these songs. The title track translates to what?
Kaliakul means forever, but it's more than forever. Like when we say something's forever, we don't sort of, it's not given the enormity of Kaliakul. So Kaliakul is like, it's immersive, it's omnipotent, it's always was, always is, always will be. So it's that kind of really, it's like heaps of forever.
Mm. Things aren't forever all the time though, aren't they? Even though they stay in our heart, and you've got a beautiful song about your adopted father. Why does he dwell in your heart in such a special way?
He really instilled a love of music, and he taught me to sing by listening. I failed all these music aptitude tests, and I remember being frog marched up to school while he had it out with the teacher, and the teacher saying, you know, it's a standard test, Mr. Williams, and he would respond, look, I realise that, but have you heard this kid sing? And that always kind of stuck with me, and I think, you know, I have very fond memories of summertime in Perth on a blanket under the stars, you know, and I met Billy and Ella and I fell in love with Sarah Vaughan's voice, and, you know, I wanted to marry Nat King Cole, and my dad would conduct the Glenn Miller band from his lawn chair, and, you know, I remember, and he'd sit there and go, shh, can you hear that? Can you hear that? Listen, these are the people that really knew how to sing. And I remember just straining to listen and then mimicking them with their singing. And you know, that really stuck with me. And so, you know, there's four principles that inform what we do. And one of those principles is Korolingo, which is children. But it's more than that. It's about legacy. And so, you know, for me to pass on a legacy to my kids, I have an acute understanding that the legacy that was passed on to me was firmly from this beautiful man.
He brought music into your life, but he left your life at a very young age, didn't he? Your mother had already, your adoptive mother had already left your life, and then he left it at 12.
Yeah, my mum was a chronic alcoholic. She was very sick with alcoholism, and they separated when I was young. My dad sort of gave her an ultimatum to choose us or choose grog, and she left. And dad and I, you know, he was the centre of my universe. And when he passed away, it was 3 weeks after my 12th birthday.
And there he is in this album in such a profound way. And life was very chaotic for you. So this is about language, but yes. I gather this album is also very much about healing.
Yeah, the album, everything that we do, so the recordings, the performances, the writing, all of it is informed by four principles, which were given to me by my uncle Tom Hayden, who's a really beautiful Balladong elder. He lives out in Kellerberrin, which is in the Wheatbelt region of WA. Mm. And they are Kort, which is heart, Mort, which is family, Ngalangbuja, which is our land, and then Korolingo, which is children, but it's, as I said, it's about legacy. So everything, you know, if you talk to Uncle Tom, he reckons that if you have those four principles in place, then everything else should fall into line, and he's right. And I think so that informs what we do. And what we found is that, you know, it's been a real healing process, not just for me personally, but, you know, I'm able to share these things with an audience. And even though we sing in a different language, everyone we're working with or dealing with understands what it is to love. Everybody understands loss. Everybody understands that sadness. And then everyone understands what joy is. And so I think, you know, even though we're dealing in a difference, there's a kind of a unity that comes, you know, through audiences that we discover that actually we're not so different after all.
Gina, how did things fall into line after you dealt with the loss of your father at 12, and then you became a ward of the state, and you were catapulted in and out of large foster homes?
I'm really grateful for the input of my foster families. I was made a ward of the state and I was put in a children's home while welfare figured out what to do with me. Then I was placed in my first foster home. So I went from being an only child to being one of seven children.
Yikes.
And then I was placed into another foster home a bit later where I was one of six children. As much as I missed my former life, I'm grateful for what happened and I'm grateful for the investment. I had, you know, I have one family that made me, I have one family that saved me, I had one family, you know, that chose me, and I had another family that showed me how to really love. So I'm very lucky in that sense.
What a gorgeous way of putting it. Your two daughters sing on this album, I think. I think
they
you've got three daughters though, don't you?
I've got two daughters and a son.
Two daughters and a son. Get it right. And they sing. What's it like having your two daughters singing these songs in language with you?
It's beautiful. It's really wonderful. Again, it's about legacy. The great thing about this is that my kids grow up and this is normal, which is exactly how it should be. They should be growing up taking it for granted.
And in fact, you first performed in language, in Noongar language, in London, of all places. That was a real turning point for you, wasn't it? Because
it was.
Of the reception that you got.
It was. Guy and I had been talking for a number of years about writing songs in language, and, you know, Guy was the main sort of instigator, saying, you know, you should write songs in language. And of course I'd be like, oh, gosh, I can't get people to listen to me in English. Who's going to want to listen to a language that no one knows? I had this opportunity to go to London as part of the British Council's Accelerate Cultural Arts and Leadership Program. I got to London and one thing led to another and I ended up with this gig at this jazz club in London, and I sang a couple of English songs and I thought, you know what, here's an opportunity to test this. And I'd written a couple of little language songs and I thought, I'm just going to try. I'm just going to see what kind of response I get. Mm. So I explained about the language, that it's very rare jewel. It's where I come from. It's, you know, it's beautiful and I hope you enjoy it. And this is what... And one of the songs I sang was the song for my dad. It brought the place down and I suddenly had this moment where all the things that Guy had been saying about, you know, anywhere in the world you can hear English, anywhere in the world you can hear French, German, Spanish, you know, you name the language, anywhere in the world you can hear it. But even on Noongar country, the chances of hearing Noongar being sung and understanding it are slim to none, and I realised what a rare jewel we were dealing with. So I came home from London, landed on the Monday. Guy and I drove out to Kellerberrin to see Uncle Tom on the Wednesday. I remember jumping in the car and Guy going, how was it? And I went, oh my God, I've got to write songs in language. And he was like, yay, at last. You know, and so we kind of, that's where it all kind of began. And I got to out to Keller and Uncle Tom was waiting for us. And, you know, he was like, how was it, niece? And I was like, oh my God, Uncle Tom, I have to write songs in language, but I don't know what to write about. He was like, oh, that's the easy part. This is, you know, and then that's when the four principles came into play.
Yes. Heart, people, family, land, children, legacy. That's although you have been creative with a Sting song, a classic Sting song, Englishman in New York.
Yeah.
Same tune, different lyrics altogether.
Yeah, it's an adaptation of his song where he sings about all the things that are very English. So I kind of had it in my head, you know, wouldn't it be cool to write something about what's all very, very Australian and very Balladong in particular. And as it turns out, yok is the word, the Noongar word for woman or girl. So I wrote, you know, Ngang Murich Balladong Yok, instead of I'm an Englishman in New York, I'm a strong Balladong girl.
Gina Williams is with us in the Laugh Matter studio, and she and her collaborator Guy Gauss have a debut album which really has received critical acclaim. It's in Noongar language. It's just say the title of the album again.
Kalyukul.
Now, there's a song that isn't on the album, which you're going to perform over the Easter weekend in Canberra at the National Folk Festival, I gather. This is a song that commemorates the Anzac Centenary. You have Guy Gauss in the Perth studios with you.
Yeah,
just introduce this song and then we'd love to hear it from you.
Okay, so the Anzacs left from Manung Budja, which is Manung country, which is part of the Noongar nation from Albany, and we were down for the opening of the Anzac Memorial Centre, and we were talking to one of the elders.
I was there that week too. Yeah, it was a really buzzy time, wasn't
weekend.
It? Just the masses of people descending on Albany, that beautiful coastline, to celebrate
this
gorgeous event.
Yeah, so Aunty Treasy was there, and I said to her, because I knew that Indigenous people weren't allowed to sign up as Anzacs, that the laws changed after that, but I was aware that some Aboriginal people had done it, they'd passed themselves off. And so I said to Aunty Treasy, you know, did any Noongars go? And she said, my three uncles went. And I thought, wow. And she goes, yeah, two of them came back as broken men. You know, it really destroyed them. And so she went to talk about it. And when she was telling this story, I thought, you know, it would have been, it's such a terrifying thing to, and such a brave thing for these men to go and sign up and do. But imagine the families that they left behind, what they must have been going through, the worry. And, you know, going overseas would be akin to going to the moon, I think, for Noongar people at the time. So I wrote the song from the perspective of a little girl, we call her Niniok, little girl, waiting for her uncle to return to her. So that's what this song is about. And it was inspired by a conversation with Pam Merrigan, who's the artistic director at the National. So it's kind of fitting that we, we're coming back to play it there.
We'd love to hear it. Gina Williams, Guy Gass. Williams and Guy Gass singing, you know, you haven't recorded that yet.
Not yet, no. It's going to be on the next album.
And this all came from being at Albany at that celebration of the centenary of the leaving of the Anzacs from Noongar country. How vital is it for us to tell those stories to this generation?
I think it's incredibly important. You know, like language for is incredibly important as well. The language of this land was hunted down, and it was, you know, systematically, there was a systematic attempt to wipe it out. So kids were beaten for speaking their language, and I think that, you know, what's really good about what we do is that we're using ancient language in a contemporary context. And so it's about history, but it's about giving it a new and beautiful kind of way of looking at it. And I think that it's what we should be doing with everything. I think we should be looking at different ways to retell things and to honour things that have gone before in a way that gives that memory as much beauty and as much dignity and as much integrity as we possibly can.
Great to have you both on the show. Gina Williams, Guy Gass, have a fantastic National Folk Festival, won't you, over Easter?
So excited. Thank you very much.
And I might catch you over at the National Folk Festival over Easter too. I'm hoping to head there to Canberra. And details of Gina and Guy's performances on the Life Matters website, or certainly a link to their webpage, which is where you can get to their events. Hey, we're going to squeeze in some of your feedback because, of course, on Friday it went off. It was all about princesses.